сейчас без танцев.
Shall we observe a moment of silence for prayer or meditation? Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to the Parliamentary Budget Office. I would also like to greet the staff, all stakeholders and guests present here. Thank you for showing interest in our work. You are welcome to this meeting. Today we will be receiving a briefing from the Parliamentary Budget Office on the integration of medium-term strategic framework into planning processes. We need to strengthen the alignment of the South African budget, the medium-term strategic framework, and the National Development Plan as per the mandate paper. The mandate paper seeks to strengthen that alignment. It talks to alignment, you know, of the budget with your NDP. You're welcome, Prof. You're welcome, Dadoma. So the I think we must also, let's revisit the mandate paper, read it on our own. It does emphasize the alignment between the budget and the NDP. Yeah? So I think this one seeks to, so this strategic framework report that we'll be getting, briefing we'll be getting, is going to assist us to realize this as prescribed by the mandate paper. We need to tighten the alignment between the budget and the implementation plans of all national, provincial, and government departments, local government departments, public entities, and state-owned companies. So as the committee found in its recent 2018 budget hearings, medium-term expenditure framework planning tools and mechanisms are still not sufficiently embedded in the work of departments and public entities. This poses a significant risk to the attainment of MTSF targets, but also the NDP targets, NDP goals. So for as long as there's a risk, I think we have to find a way of managing it. So welcome again to the PBO, and we must thank you for always coming to brief us and making us even more cleverer on the budgetary issues. To the honorable members, thank you once more for coming, but also let's engage with the briefing and become even more aware and be able to look at things from a broader perspective and make implementable and impactful recommendations to the House. Thank you very much. Shall we then move to apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson, members and guests. We receive two apologies. First one is from Mr. Shekima. He's attending another committee meeting. Mr. McLaughlin is also attending another committee meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Shall we then, do we accept the apologies? Apologies, yes. Honorable member? Apology accepted. Any seconder? Seconded. Shall we then move to presentation by the Parliamentary Budget Office?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Chair, I think you've done a fantastic summary and introduction. So I'm not going to repeat what you said because you've covered most of the areas I wanted to talk on. And given that, I'll give over directly to Nelia and my colleague, Dr. Mapula Sekatani, to take you through the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, colleagues.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all the members.
I'm not going to provide you with a long introduction and the outline, but just in terms of introducing ourselves, Dr. Sipitani and I are responsible for policy analysis in the budget office. And we started 3 years ago with our different service on the analysis of the National Development Plan. When the speaker asked us, what is the status of the National Development Plan? And just in terms of the background of the National Development Plan, you know that the NDP already provides key success factors for the successful implementation of the plan. And these success factors include the development of 5-year detailed implementation plans, which is the medium-term strategic framework. It is also based on intergovernmental...
Just talk louder through the mic. Yeah.
And it's also the intergovernmental coordination between departments and state of government. And another one is that all plans of government and institutions must be aligned to the NCDBS, of the MTSS. And the last one is that the NDP and MTSS must be integrated into the standard procedures and documents, existing documents of government. So based on these key success factors, we started our different projects that we already presented to this committee. The first one was the alignment of the MTSS with the NDP. The second project that we did was the analysis of the alignment of the MTSS with the budget, and also the alignment of the management grouping of the planning in terms of the NDP and MTSS and the planning of the budget. Then we moved on and we looked at all the procedures and systems that government used to implement the NDP and the normal outputs that they deliver, and how they report on these outputs. And now this is the last project, and the final findings in terms of the integration of the MTSS into the standard documents of government. As I said, we already presented all the other findings. We also presented this project's first 5 outcomes. Today we will present the next 7 outcomes. We didn't include outcome 11 and 12 because those are overarching outcomes. And then I'll just hand over to Mapula. She will provide you with the detailed information in terms of the findings. This slide is just an overview of all the findings. But Mapula will do the details in terms of each outcome.
Thank you, Nilia. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm going to start with outcome 6 because we, like Nilia said, we already presented outcomes 1 to 5 in this committee. So we're going to present the last 7 outcomes. So the first one is outcome 6, which looks at an efficient and competitive and responsive economic infrastructure network. So it's all about infrastructure. So when we compared the APPs of the responsible departments with the performance indicators in the MTSF for this particular outcome, we found that out of the 102, so there were 102 performance indicators in the MTSF for this particular outcome, only 34 of them were captured in the APPs of the respective departments that are responsible for those particular performance indicators, which give us 33% of them being integrated. So the responsible departmental budget programs support the actions of the sub-outcomes to implement the outcome 6. So integration is possible, but it's just that the indicators were not captured in their respective APPs. The other issue is that when you look at sub-outcome 3 or outcome 6, we found that, which is the logistics and transport infrastructure, it involves the implementations of SIPs 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, and 17, which is also the same case with sub-outcome 4, which is bulk water, and involves the implementation of SIPs 3, 5, 7, and 17, and 18. The problem here is that the reporting of SIPs follow a process outside of the standard reporting system of government, which means the reporting of SIPs is not captured in the APPs. So that can sort of explain why the integration is not so high. It's only 33%, because the bulk of the things, sub-outcome 3 and sub-outcome 4, are not reported in their APPs. So the reporting on them falls on a different process. So it becomes a challenge for this committee in terms of them to do oversight, because maybe for the portfolio committees where the SIPs are reporting, they may be able to trace, but for this committee it can be a bit of a challenge, because if you look, it's not presented in the APPs when we look at this integration. The other way to sort of check what's happening with the SIPs can be through, for this committee, can be through the budget, but that's not going to show in terms of the performance, but it can show only the allocation in terms of are they spending the money. And that only happens once a year in 12 months. So there must be in-year monitoring, which for this committee, through this process, can be a bit of a challenge. So the other issue that we found is that the number of MTSF performance indicators, including SIPs, so the MTSF indicate or include performance indicators with SIPs, but when you come to the APPs, they have performance indicators excluding SIPs. So that poses a challenge in terms of when we're trying to trace the performance and the integration between the MTSF and the APPs. Because in the MTSF, we have performance indicators including SIPs, but when we come to the APPs, they don't include SIPs. So these are for the department's water and sanitation, which included 5 out of 19 MTSF indicators. Transport included 5 also out of 19. Public enterprise included only 3 out of 20. And economic development only included 1 MTSF indicator. In terms of outcome 7, which is comprehensive rural development and land reform, when we looked at the integration between the performance indicators in the MTSF and those in the presented in the APPs, we found that only 31% were captured in the APPs of the responsible departments. So the budget program structures, though, allows or provide necessary legal framework for the implementation of the proposed MTSF. But when we look at the purpose of Program 4, in terms of which the Department of Basic Education is responsible for, that is for planning, information, and assessment, it does not allow for the integration of the performance indicators on access to educational infrastructure recommended by the MTSF, which is also part of the infrastructure that we looked in Outcome 6. So it doesn't allow for integration. The performance indicators are not included in the APP of the Department of Basic Education. If we trace back, when we presented initially the first 5 sub-outcomes, basic education posed a challenge, because I think only 13% were captured in the APPs. So we still see also in terms of other outcomes where Department of Basic Education is responsible, we still see the same challenge where the performance indicators are not included in the APP. So the integration of the sub-outcome, or the rate of integration, was between 17% and 100%. Sub-outcome 1, in terms of improved land administration and spatial planning for integration development in rural areas, only 17% were captured in the APPs. And for outcome 5, also only 17% were captured in the APP. In terms of outcome 8, which is human settlement, only one department is responsible for this sub-outcome, which is the Department of Human Settlement. And when we looked at the integration, we found that only 25% were captured in the APP, that is 16 of the indicators out of 63. And the rate of integration was between 29% and 13% and 29. And then for sub-outcome 1, which is adequate housing, was 29, and the lowest was sub-outcome 3, which is enhanced institutional capacity for effective coordination, and special investment decisions. When you look at that last one, sub-outcome 3, which is enhanced institutional capacity, it can tell us it means there is no institutional capacity within the departments for them to be able to perform. So can that explain the 25% why there is no integration? Because there is no institutional capacity. They are not able to perform in terms of their function. And when you look at outcome 9, responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient development, local government, we found that only 16 out of the 72 MTSF were captured in the APPs. The budget program for COCTA, which is responsible for this outcome, provides the necessary legal framework for the implementation of the proposals of the MTSF for sub-outcome 2 to 5. But then it does not lend itself for integration in terms of sub-outcome 1, which is members of society have sustainable and reliable access to basic services, which is a very important sub-outcome because the society needs to have access to basic services. But then this outcome does not, or the APP of COCTA does not lend itself in terms of integration into the MTSF performance indicator. So the rate of integration was between 0% and 60%, 0% for sub-outcome 1, and sub-outcome 2, intergovernmental and democratic governance arrangement for a function system, was 17%, and sub-outcome 3, sound financial and administrative management, was only 32%, was captured in the APP of COCTA. And sub-outcome 10, protect and enhance our environment, assets, and natural resources. The comparison showed a 37% reflection reflected in the APP of the department, respective departments, in terms of which the Department of Environmental Affairs is the leading department for this sub-outcome. And program structures allow for the integration of sub-outcome 1, 2, 3, and 4 into the APPs of the respective departments, but program structures of the Departments of Energy, Environmental Affairs, Cooperative Governance, and Traditional Affairs are therefore program performance indicators in the APPs of the responsible department does not report or does not allow itself for integration of sub-outcome 5, sustainable human communities. So in terms of these sub-outcomes, there were performance indicators whereby Department of Energy is responsible for 1, Environmental Affairs is responsible for 1, and COCTA is responsible for 1. But all those performance indicators were not captured in the APPs of these departments. And the rate of integration was between 0% and 50%, 0% for sub-outcome 5, and sub-outcome 1 was 37%, and sub-outcome 4 was 36%, which were the lowest. And in terms of outcome 13, an inclusive and responsive social protection system, the comparison showed a 53% integration into of the performance indicators into the APPs. The departmental budget program structure support the actions of the sub-outcomes to implement outcome 13, and the rate of integration was between 40% and 67%. This is one of the ones with the highest percentage of integration, whereby the lowest is only 40% in terms of sub-outcome 3, strengthen community development in interventions, and 43% for sub-outcome 4, deepening social assistance and expanding access to social security. COCTA is responsible for community and household profiles required for sub-outcome 13, which is not reflected in the output or as output in the APP of COCTA. And the last one is outcome 14, nation building and social cohesion, whereby we found a 30% reflection of APP of performance indicators in the APPs, and the departmental budget program structure support the actions of sub-outcomes to implement outcome 14. But activities for sub-outcome 2 and sub-outcome 4 requires the revision of program structures for COCTA and Department of Basic Education, which is the same case that we found with the previous outcomes in terms of COCTA and basic education. So the rate of integration is between 12% and 50%. 12% for sub-outcome 1, fostering and constitutional values, and sub-outcome 4, promoting active citizenry and leadership. I'll give it back to Nila to summarize.
Thank you, Makula. I think you get the picture of where we are with the integration of the NPSF with the APPs of government between 16 and 62%, and most of them are below 40%. In terms of the, when we compare the purpose of the budget programs within the APPs with the NPSF objectives, we also found that basic education, corporate governance and traditional affairs, energy and environmental affairs really needs to revise their program structures, their budget program structures, to provide a suitable environment for the implementation of the NDP. Otherwise, they won't be able to implement their responsibilities in terms of the NDP. And something else that I think also needs to be addressed is the SIP, the reporting on the SIP projects. The information that I provided after the budget presentation include the SIPs, but it's very detailed information. And the monitoring of SIPs throughout the year is not possible because we only get that information on an annual basis in the budget review. It is possible that the cabinet reports on the SIPs to the different committees, but this committee doesn't get that information in terms of projects on the mega projects. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you so much for the briefing.
It completes the work that was started last year. We now have full information on the alignment of the budget with the MTSF, and PBO has identified the serious gaps that are there. And as this committee, I think our work is to make sure that where there are gaps, we're able to plug into those gaps. But what will also be key is that this information is also forwarded to your Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. But also, I think it will be good if we can send this information to the different portfolio committees so that in their oversight over the APPs, because that's where everything starts, should then be able to use this information to make an effective and impact on the work of the departments that they are overseeing. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I will now open the floor for interrogation of the briefing. Thank you very much for the briefing. We really appreciate it. Over to the members. Looks like this thing was so crystal clear that members don't see, the reason to interrogate it. But it's fine. I see two hands, Honourable Member Snokwanyane, Honourable Member Shopestole, and Honourable Member Manan, in that order.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. But like you say, I think there isn't really much that I would really want to ask, and I think it was crystal clear, but of course there are concerns around this, because one thing that I just would like to comment on is this issue of these performance indicators, Would you per se that they set unrealistic performance indicators? Because if these people set indicators, then it is we should be seeing how far they go. And I'm looking at the low percentages of integration, which for me is an issue of serious concern. And then the issue of the SIPs, as we have mentioned, that they fall outside of the standard reporting system. Is it deliberate? Is it not possible to integrate them? Because like you also correctly said, you know, the portfolio committee is in a better position to be able to interrogate these reports, because they get the APPs. They really deal with the APPs to a great extent. But just for interesting to say, is it deliberate? Is it possible to actually change that system?
Thank you very much. Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for PBO for their very helpful work. I find this work of the PBO very, very helpful. And I'm just wondering, you know, is it not possible that the relevant department should be made aware directly of this, because I think if they are aware, they can be able to improve. Because if it is just ends up with us, this is too much hard work to be just put in the shelf unused.
Next.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. I am really covered by all my thoughts. I was going to say, I don't think this report needs to go to the planning department only, but the department needs to know exactly what is going on so that they be in the position to align themselves with this report to say our APPs, it seems as if they are not talking to these indicators. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Manana. I'll now call upon Honorable Member Gwabaza.
Yeah. You know, on this infrastructure, issue. I don't know whether the PBO has had an opportunity to look into the role that the PICC plays in terms of coordinating and ensuring that there is integration of programs. It seems to me from the report that you have given us so far, there is a disconnect between the PICC and the department responsible for implementation, particularly on the both social and economic infrastructure. So if perhaps you could comment on that and perhaps advise how we should, as this committee, concerned about the spending and the impact that this should have on both delivery of social services as well as economic growth, how we should handle this. Perhaps if you could advise us on both of those things. Thanks.
I will now allow Prof and your team to respond, and indeed some of the inputs were comments, and then there are those areas that warrants a response. So over to you, Prof.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, for those excellent questions. Chair, I think maybe just I'll ask my colleagues to comment more on the details. But I think yes, departments need to be made aware of this. And I think also your input, where you indicated that chairs also need to be made aware of it. And because it has come out of this committee, we're very prepared to, under your auspices, prepare a letter, attach this and send it to all the chairs from the Appropriations Committee, which I think will give it a bit more punch as well in that regard. So I think it's an excellent issue, good point that we need to raise in this regard. Nilia, maybe you would.
Thank you, Chair. You know that we've done individual reports for all 12 of these outcomes, and every time, as soon as we're done and PROF approves the reports, we send it out to all the chairs, the relevant and respective chairs, as well as to our four committees. Something else that I also want to mention, DPME is one of our stakeholders, and we engage with them on a regular basis. And they've asked us to come and present this to the unit where they really analyze the APPs as well. We invited the head of the unit to this meeting, but unfortunately, I think he couldn't come today. But we will still present all of this to DPME. But besides the DPME, we're also in negotiations with the AGSA. They also came to the PBO and asked how can they assist in terms of the work that they do, what are our findings. And one of the big things they also really want to tighten is in terms of performance information and in terms of APPs. Our next meeting with them is on the 20th. We're going up there, and I think this is one of the things that we can indicate to them where the big problems are in terms of integration. I don't know whether it's their mandate also to look at this, but it's definitely their mandate to look at the quality of the APPs. But we will discuss this to them as well. In terms of the unrealistic indicators, Honourable Member, there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of developing quality indicators and setting off targets, not just in APPs, but also in terms of the MTSF. This is the first round of first five-year MTSF, and I think all these findings, if we can communicate it well to the relevant people, they will start realize that there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of the quality of the reports. And this is also something that we will definitely discuss with the AG, because they can then already analyze and evaluate the draft APPs, because that's definitely their mandate, and provide input to improve the quality of the performance indicators. In terms of the SIPs, Honourable Pobaza, the outcome 5 include all the SIPs, but the APPs don't include the SIPs. So the only time that we really get our hands on any information on SIPs is through the budget review. We try to get information in terms of the cabinet submission, in terms of progress on SIPs, but we couldn't get hold of that documentation or the cabinet submission. So yes, we really, from this budget review, we will really in future try and include the information from the budget review just to try and track progress on an annual basis to see where we are. Because the SIPs are not just the annual projects. Most of them are like over a few years, and there's one big amount allocated to a specific project, and then we can try and merge the SIP tables, the annual tables in the budget review, with the annual tables of the individual projects and see where they fit in. So in terms of the PBO, that's one of the things we're going to try and present to you every year with a budget analysis, also to try and update you on all, but even in terms of the information that we have, to try and track the progress with the with those mega projects and where we are. Disconnect with the PIC, I don't really know how to answer that with Prof.
Thank you, Lydia. Honourable Mombasa, I think you raised a good issue about the PICC. And also, I must say, we're also a bit concerned about, you know, the reporting, et cetera, especially to Parliament. Because remember, you exercise oversight over them. I know that last year the committee agreed that PICC will provide quarterly reports to this committee. I don't know how far that's come, but I think that's an important point that we need to press home with them, so that we can monitor. And also, exactly on your point, you know, how we can coordinate the role, the integration issues and so on. So I would strengthen the case that they do present to the report quarterly. And we can then factor that in, you know, into our presentation, into our work that we're doing for you. Because you're right, it's not only about economic infrastructure, it's also about social economic transformation in that regard. So I think your point is very relevant. So if the committee could then maybe reinforce, you know, the fact that we need to get these quarterly reports from the PICC, I think it's going to be important. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, any follow-up questions? The Monday paper is very clear. I think it's the Monday paper for this is it MTF, this 2018 MTF period. It was circulated in the previous financial year in preparation for this. And I think this work, when this work was begun, it was in line with it in preparation for the alignment between your medium-term strategic framework, your NDP goals, and the budget. Let's be honest, if that can be corrected, we will have good progress made, even if it's not during this administration period. Maybe this last leg is for us to correct, so that as we move forward in the next administration, we then there is this alignment and it is strictly monitored so that we can indeed deliver on the NDP delivery time frame, which is 2030. Because this phase was the first implementation phase of the NDP, maybe that's why we have these problems, and which I choose to call teething problems. But very important and urgent that we now align. Now, I don't know whether National Treasury is also aware, because this alignment is talking to the alignment of the budget also. Yes? With all, you know, these objectives being included in the plan, it's like you've got to go back to the drawing board. The strat plans must be properly, I don't know how we can, hey, but the separation of power, I'm going to say, sit in their strat plans with this document and say this and this, but maybe it should be done by DPA. Yes. You've got to include, this is excluded, it has got to be included this time around. Okay? I think what they can, at the beginning, can do, which I think can be practical, is also the phasing in of the budget in this aligned, you know, NDP goals and the budget phasing, you know, they can't do it because already they have projects in place that those projects have left out other, you know, SIPs and other strategic objectives, is it, yeah, of the NDP. Sure,
Yeah, yeah, this one needs to go. I think people need to go back to the drawing board, and it starts with the strat plan. People aligning everything and then looking at how they can then divide their budget so that all these strategic objectives are met. Yeah, it's a, yes, it's a big gap, but it is never too late to, you know, to correct. So, I don't know, our recommendations, therefore, would have to be in such a way that we put pressure on all the departments to adhere to this alignment, which is prescribed by the mandate paper, which was developed by both DPME and National Treasury. Yeah, everything is going to start there, on the alignment. And then they must, then the budget must also be aligned, because we are talking about strengthening of this alignment so that we can deliver in 2030 on the MVP of the goals.
You know, a very important issue was raised when the PPO reported on outcome page human settlement, the issue of institutional capacity. And that's one issue that has got to be looked at holistically. Because it could just as well be that we were overwhelmed by the magnitude of the infrastructure build program, overwhelmed by the budget allocated to this huge thing, and we were not, government was not quite ready. And it's almost 10 years since, but we seem to have just trudged on sluggishly and have not really said to ourselves, let's get the capacity available so that we can drive this thing a little faster and more efficiently. That's the other area, because I know that water and sanitation has had that problem for a long time. It could just as well be that all the other departments that are responsible for infrastructure are facing similar problems, and they are not taking it upon themselves to really get into grips with the issue of, even if it means perhaps beginning to you know, taking students to universities who can focus on studying this thing called infrastructure and its implementation. Because many departments have budgets that can, you know, subsidize students so long as they are studying something that is relevant. I know economic development does that, trade and industry does that, and there could be a couple of others. So it is something that has got to be looked at quite urgently. Because it relates to the question we asked earlier last year in October when we met them as well, met the PICC, to ask the question, how is it that infrastructure in many instances would stimulate growth? In our situation, it is not. Now there is a new challenge. I don't know whether PPO was present when we met the CID. That grouping of the construction industry, where they raised a new challenge of foreign companies coming in, registering themselves, and the danger that they will take over from the local construction industry and then kill the local industry, take the money out of the country. Why? Because they probably have the relevant skills to implement these things. Now, that's the threat that is coming. If we don't take seriously the issue of capacity in the relevant department, perhaps that's one issue that needs focus and we need to look into it.
Nilia,
Thank you, Chair. I also just want to indicate again, we focused on the program, budget program structures and the purposes of the budget program structures as well. For one reason, departments indicate that the NDP actually poses a new mandate on them. But if the program structures allow for the implementation of the MTSF objectives, then they do have the mandate to implement the NDP. The only departments that we found was basic education, COCTA, energy and environmental affairs, whose program structures needs to be revised to make them suitable or to provide the mandate for them to implement some of the indicators from the MTSF. So it's not all the other departments, all the 36 other departments, the program structures are there, so they do have the mandate to implement. And if the program structure is there, then they also have the funding. They must just reprioritize within and change how they're doing things currently to what the MTSF is basically required from them to do.
Okay. Thank you so much for this interesting engagement. I just want to reflect on the way forward now. We have agreed on... Oh, yes. Prof. May come in. Sorry.
Thank you. Chair, I think there were... There's two important points, Honorable Sekoniani made as well, and Honorable Gwabaza, and
okay.
Yourself.
Yes.
The one relates to, you know, I think the issue that you raised about separation of power. Now, I don't know if we can put, you know, as a committee, pressure on the past, but we can put pressure on other committees to ensure that these issues are taken cognizance of. My apologies, Chair. So I think that's the first area that we need to ensure. And I think your point about taking it to the other committee to give them the ammunition, you know, that when they face the past, that these issues are raised in that regard. I think also the point Anton Sekuriana makes is about the structure reporting. There seems to be a kind of structural constraint in that regard that needs to be sorted out. And maybe we should address that issue specifically as well. Thank you, Chair.
Now, in terms of a way forward, I think our secretary would then assist us in having this report to review and also to the other chapters. Number two, so the better impact is there. Now, this whole report from the same five outcomes to where we are today, it must be taken as a primer. I think we resolved on this, right? But also that very meeting report from the improvement of the state must be taken to the chairperson's panel so that we can be, you know, it can be presented for all of us.
Okay.
So let's arrange that meeting and go to the same about. And tomorrow, then, I don't know whether it's too late now, tomorrow there's a chairperson's panel sitting between 1 and 2. But fine, I think it's very, I mean, there's still the other panel. But the sooner this is taken through to the chairperson, because now they're and
was thinking that where we are thinking about putting pressure, I know that we said maybe we should, we can't put pressure on the other chapters, but we can share this information, but we can put pressure on the department by making a recommendation for 2019-20, yeah?
Yes.
To say if they are given this time to align, but this one is very, very important to keep. And if they don't align by 2020, you know, in terms of the 2020 budget process, this committee will not pass the budget. Better we tell them SMEs now. I think that's the pressure we should put. We have those powers through the House, because then our report will become the resolution of the House, and then binding for the department. But we need to put it very strong, also. Even in terms of our debate, whoever will be debating, even if all of us who are debating mention this, we can see the seriousness. Yes, to say this is the gap that has been identified. We agree this is what the state says, but this is the gap that has been identified, and the improvement and plan would be that come the Muslim alliance, strictly the Muslim alliance. And then failing of which we will not pass the budget. Because anyway, this demanded paper comes from the national pressure. So he also expects that we are assisting in terms of alignment of the MTSS and the NDP goals and the budget. It's very simple. The demanded paper is simple. It talks about strengthening. So now we have identified the gap. Now moving forward, this is how we're going to strengthen. Tell them now, now start to align SLS now, framing of which the budget will not go through. Not the time. If they pay, they will not pass the budget.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much. I think we've come to the end of our story. That maybe we could monitor, we use the quarterly report to monitor. Yeah? But you know, then allow the space to align. It's a process. You know, so when do we want to see the best progress report? Maybe after 6 months, when we do the municipal act. Because already now they have a plan. Yeah? And they're saying, hey, your plans have left this one out. So we would like to see alignment in terms of, but the other one is that not met by that time. So that report, which period? Is it 6 months period? I'm sure 6 months period is long enough for them to try and align, we call the budget program structure.
Just to add and strengthen to your point, I'm just consulting with the team now. The new cycle starts in August here, they have to start already. You know, for the next 5 year MTSF. So you're totally right here, you know, to put that kind of pressure.
So our monitoring will be on the August engagement.
In August, the first draft for the next financial year is submitted to Treasury. So one can basically also put pressure on Treasury to make sure that especially those departments whose budget structures are not suitable for the implementation of the NDP to start there, because Treasury must approve changes to the the program budget structures. So even if we can start there, it's a small step, but at least we know that COPTA, deep, basic education, environment and energy will be able to implement the NDP in terms of the budget structure.
No, as COA the oversight function.
As this committee chair, it's actually not a small step, it's actually our function as this committee to ensure that the MTSF is aligned, the budget program structures in place for the next five years, because we will be monitoring the allocation of resources going forward for the next 5 years. So it's critical for this. In fact, it's more important for this committee than anything else, I think, you know, to get that sort of that process sorted.
How can you assist us to be more effective in this?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you indicated, the first point is for us to now get involved or see what the preparations are for the next 5 year NTSF cycle. And maybe that's where we as a team can maybe start looking at, you know, where are they, what's happening, where are the draft plans, etc. Do an analysis of that and then come back to you and say, this is what we figured out for the first draft process. This is what they're preparing. So we keep each other informed as to what they're up to. And if we have a way of engaging with them, okay, and influencing, or, you know, maybe we could find out, you know, what the process could be there as well for this committee to engage with, and with PBO as your support.
So by when do you think we can expect our
process report? I didn't say progress report, I said process report.
See, I think that could almost be, let's start firing up now already, you know, with what the process will be and what they're up to. So maybe we can start following up and then come back to the committee and say, this is what we found out, this is where they are, etc., and see what the next steps are in that regard.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we've come to the end of our interesting engagement. It's exciting, you know, where we're going to venture into something new that will add value to parliamentary work. I think that should be exciting to all of us, ne? Because that's the difference we were meant to make during our time. Ne? So, and it will give us a very good legacy as this committee.
You're not going anywhere.
No, excuse me. You must not make me to have unfair expectations in politics. Nothing is guaranteed. We all know that. So you start from there. And if you are given something, then it's your bonus. You know? Yeah. Okay. But thank you so much. So we'll hear from you when you are ready with the next report. Thank you. Honourable members, we have. Can I allow honourable members just a 5 minutes break, and thereafter we come back and consider the minutes. Thank you. Honourable members, we're not forming a quorum. Again, the adoption of the minutes will be deferred to the next meeting. And maybe next time, if we think we are not going to make a quorum, we must invite other members from the other committees to come and assist us to jump this hurdle. Cannot go on and on and on. Ne?
Can they do that as of now?
Come again?
Can they do that as of now?
We don't form a quorum. Or you mean we go and ask people? Sheila, you are leaving. So how many people do we need? 1, 2, 3, 4?
I can call people along the room.
How many people do we need?
Two.
Only two. Baba, can you assist us there? Can you assist us? The whip will assist us. Let's pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then hoping that we'll be assisted. It's not going to take us long. You know, Mota, how we...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are allowed to go.
the two women.
And all that I'm happy with is that
you are right in this matter.
In terms of the agenda, we are on item number 5, which is consideration and adoption of the draft minutes dated 22nd, 28th, 29th November 2017 and 27th, 28th February 2018. Indeed, we felt like we cannot go on and on and on deferring these minutes to the next meeting, and we must thank the input by Honorable Member Manana, who advised that the other alternative is to get members to join us so that we can jump this hurdle and focus on new work. Thank you very much for coming, Honorable Members. We really appreciate your presence, and we now are forming the quorum. We will then look at the minutes consider the minutes of the 22nd of November. It is a set of minutes that was circulated to members on time. The assumption now is that the minutes were read, and I will then want us to go straight to corrections or the correctness of the minutes. On page 1, are there any corrections? Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. On page 4, Honorable Member Gwabaza.
Yes, on bullet point 1, under 3. If we could remove the second bed in the middle.
Page 4.
Yeah, page 4.
The minutes of the 22nd of November?
Mm. Is it the 27th?
No,
oh, I'm looking at first.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, shall we then proceed to page 5? Are there any corrections? Page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Any proposal for adoption of the minutes? Honorable Member Manana, seconded by Honorable Member Snukwanyan. The minutes are adopted as a true reflection of what transpired in the previous meeting. We will then move to the second set of minutes for consideration by this committee. It's the minutes of the 28th of November, 2017. Honorable Members, these minutes were circulated and members have read the minutes. Shall we then entertain the corrections? On page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Any proposal for adoption? Mm-hmm. Honourable Member Gwabaza, seconded by Honourable Member Simukwanyan. Thank you very much. So we'll then move to the third set of minutes, which is minutes of the 29th of November 2017. These minutes were also circulated on time. And members have read the minutes, or the assumption is that members have read the minutes. Shall we then look at the correctness of the minutes? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3, page 4. Any proposal for adoption? Honorable Member Manana, seconded by Honorable Member Thomas.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. We then move to that, the set of minutes of the 27th of February. The minutes were circulated to the Honorable Members on time. The assumption that members have read the minutes. We will then look at the corrections.
Page 1, are there any corrections on page 1? Are there any corrections on page 2? Page 3? Page 4?
Yeah.
Page 4, Honourable Member Gwabaza?
Okay.
Are we together on this one? Any seconder on that correction? Seconded. All right. Any other correction? None. Shall we move to page 5? Are there any corrections on page 5? Page 6? Any proposal for adoption?
Adoption
proposal? Any seconder? Seconded. By Honorable Member Snukwanyane, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. We then move to the minutes of the 28th of February. Members have read the minutes. Shall we look at the corrections on page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Any proposal for adoption of the minutes? Honourable Member Manana, any seconder? Seconded by Honourable Member Nkwanyana. Then under announcements, thank you very much, Honourable Members. Under announcements, the oversight program is postponed to the second term due to the change of the parliamentary program, which is calling for Parliament to sit on the 27th of March. So we are forced to adapt. So then we will then have this in the next term. Thank you very much. Honourable Members, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you so much for the members who joined us. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to join.